there are, this is quite an extraordinary figure when you think of it, an estimated 30,000 undocumented migrants, including children and families living in this country, the majority of whom have been here for many, many years. 30,000. It's a huge figure. Deeply rooted people. They're within our communities. They've made Ireland their home. Hopefully they've been welcomed here. And these are undocumented migrants. This is a term that we hear mostly about Irish people in the United States of America, the undocumented. And there's campaigns over there to try and get them documented and normalised in society. And in Ireland, we have a problem. So we tend to export our problems, and certainly we don't like to talk about them here on this island. So we've decided we'd have shine a little light on this corner of the world. Undocumented migrants often live in the shadows under tremendous stress and fear. They're more vulnerable to exploitation. They are excluded from basic services. Most are cut off from their families, similar again to the Irish in the United States. So if you have a relative in the United States who is undocumented, or you're one of the 30,000 undocumented migrants in this country, you'll want to say hello to Alan Donnow, who joins us in this morning. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, and first and foremost, I would like to greet a good morning to your listener and follower.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that. What part of the world are you from originally, Alan?
Originally, I'm from the Philippines, Ryan.
Yeah. Manila?
Manila, yeah.
All right, and tell me what brought you to Ireland in the first place.
Well, the first thing I came here, it's because to, upon emergency reason, my nephew at the time, back 5 years ago, was diagnosed with leukemia. And leukemia.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, yeah.
And my sisters badly need a second person to look after the everything, the treatment and, you know, the post and the pre-medication assistance for my nephew. So there was no other person in my family that could attend onto that. And my sisters tried the best because the program will last from 6 months up to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And my sister tried her very best to get me a certain paper that would really stay me here for that particular period of time. Mm-hmm. Then it just happened that it was being cancelled or it was being denied. So my sister was in deeply stressed that she needs me on as soon as possible. So what she did was to get me in a emergency visitor's visa. So since the program will last for more than 6 to 2 years, I was then ended up as undocumented.
Okay, so you're now living in Ireland as an undocumented migrant, is that what they call you?
We are undocumented migrants.
Migrants, okay. What does that mean exactly? Are you illegal? Are you unacknowledged? I mean, what would happen if you got a knock on the door?
Actually, certain words like illegal give a connotation of a negative meaning for
exactly.
us. So it's just happened that being undocumented is not a choice.
Yes.
It's a matter of getting into the situation that you can't do anything about it. But for a deeper meaning and a deeper reason, you stayed here for your family.
Yeah.
You know, like what happened to my nephew and like what happened to my situation, and as well as being a parent of two. So I got two boys already.
How old are they, Alan?
My eldest now is 18 and my youngest will be turning 16, and they're both in college. And being a parent and as a father, I think I have the responsibility for them to support them and to send them to a good school and to get their dreams. You know.
When was the last time you saw them face to face?
Well, face to face, it was 5 years ago.
It's a long time.
More than 5 years ago, Ryan.
It's a very long time.
It is.
Is that difficult?
Well, it's really difficult, you know. The people only knew here the mental stress that we're going through, the mental depression, the longingness for the family to, you know, the time that you lost with your children. Just imagine this. There we've been growing up. You still have to mold them to be a good person, to be a good citizen. But then having now this, you have all the 5 years loss. You have all the 5 years of emotional loss, you know, the attachment with your children.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty about it. But on the other hand, I still have to do my duty as a father to provide them, to build their future.
They miss their dad, though, I presume.
Well, if you only know one incident, I've been talking to my children just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
My youngest son, he just graduated his secondary last Monday.
Okay, well done.
And then there is an upsetting thing for me because I tried him to put on to a state university, but he didn't make it.
Okay.
And I gave him a certain word that triggered his emotion that I didn't know that he was having. He said at the time that I did my best. You didn't see my effort on reviewing and doing my school.
Mm.
I did my best. That's the only thing I can do. Since you are not here, you don't know what's the feeling of being alone here. I'll wake up, I go to school, I eat, and then I sleep again on my own. You know the feeling that having none of my parents isn't here, and in times of trouble and stress, I can't able to talk or to open up to anyone. So that's really break my heart.
And
I suppose none of you, you know, the listener, would have this in your family.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry to... You're entitled to be emotional because it's a horrible story and it's a horrible thing to have to go through.
Yeah, you know, it's not only me about that. It's just my story. But most of my people I know from undocumented here,
yeah,
from 25 to 30,000, is experiencing more difficult situation than me. You know, one of your family will pass away.
Yeah, and you can't go home.
And you can't go home.
Yeah.
You can give your final respect to them because you are thinking about trying to build up the future for yourself and for your family. Yeah.
What about the ideas that, you know, that the governments have rules and regulations about who comes into the country and who has to be documented and that it all has to be fair all around so that there's not, you know, there's not an overflow of population in a given country? I mean, do you worry about that? Do you think about that element of things that maybe along the way, sometimes the government will come along and maybe normalize relations for you? I mean,
that is what my group or the all the undocumented come over to propose a certain certain scheme to the government. We are asking the government now to give us a scheme for regularization.
Yeah.
So it's not like giving amnesty to those undocumented here. It is a scheme for regularization to regularize us on a certain period of time. I think for about 5 years, according to proposal,
yeah,
that we are asking to give us a temporary residency and we will work our way for it.
Okay, so you're looking for regularization rather than a complete amnesty. So.
No, it's a regularization scheme that will work our way on a certain period of time. It's like what the government of Ireland proposing now for the Irish undocumented in America. We are in very similar path. We are in very similar plight.
And would there be a situation, Alan, where if you're regularized for 5 years, that maybe there'd be an opportunity then to keep it, to stay here forever? I mean, would you like to stay here forever?
Yeah, actually, I consider now Ireland as my second home.
Do you? What are you not allowed to do as an undocumented citizen? What does that mean?
Well, most of us already contributing. I know a lot of people here stayed for about 10, 12, or 14 years that already contributing taxes. And since we're giving taxes now to the government, or sharing and contributing, we don't get anything from it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get medical. And the most thing is, sorry about that,
no, Ryan, go ahead,
it's
please.
The safety and security. If there is a crime or there is some, you know, something happened to you outside, you cannot even go to the hospital by yourself because of the fear of getting reported.
So if you pay tax, you're registered to pay tax, is that right? And therefore you're on the system.
Supposedly, Ryan.
Right, okay, that's peculiar. And then, but yet, if you go to the hospital and somebody says, we need your details, that you could get a knock on the door to say,
that's
you're
right.
Undocumented. Are people, have you known people, Alan, who have been, told you are an illegal, or not, you're an undocumented migrant, mm-hmm. forgive me the language,
mm-hmm.
And have been sent home?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've heard and I've seen some of them already. Okay. But I cannot disclose the
That's
details.
Okay. Yeah. What did you do for a living when you were living in the Philippines?
Well, I used to be in entertainment industry as well.
Did you? What, yeah. what side of the business were you in?
Well, I used to work with TV, films, and chatter. It's more on advertising and promotion of, in film, we will try to introduce a certain new personality or new actors and actresses, or we will try to promote a new TV program or a new film show.
Okay.
And same thing with the what they call recording company. There is a new hit that need to be advertised or to promote.
So you're in the ad. Is that the idea?
Something like that, but more on a performer.
Okay. So what are you acting or singing or dancing or?
Well, most of the time I do dancing on that part.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was 10 years ago.
That's 10 years ago. You can still move though. Yeah.
Yeah, I still get the moves. It's my passion.
I can understand that. So you came over here, and I'm coming from that background, which sounds kind of glamorous and a lot of fun. What have you been doing since you got here then, coming to help your sister?
During the time, I'm also attending a medical school.
Yes.
And before I got here, two years before I got here, I already took some caregiving course in the Philippines. So I had all this background, skills, and knowledge that I think I can facilitate in use when I get here, that I will help my nephew and to get a little bob some for me and for my children.
So you're working the caring side of things?
At the moment, I am on a healthcare department. I'm on caregiving job and doing some home care as well and home help.
Home help. And do you enjoy it, or is it just a job?
Well, being in the job now for almost 3 years, you have to love the job, and you should have the passion for taking care of other people. And just to let you know, I'm so fortunate with my family that I'm working with now.
Great.
They were so sympathetic with me. They knew my situation, and the elderly that I work with, I treat them as my own, like my own parents, like my own family.
You become part of the family almost.
Well, that's the reason also why I feel at home at the moment.
Yeah. And do you live with the family, or do you live with friends, or where do you live?
No, I just live on my own. I'm having some flat and sharing it with other people. But
that's okay. And and do you like that, or would you rather something else?
Well, on a caregiving job, you have to have your own space at the time.
Yeah.
Because you need to gain the patience, and you need to gain the composure.
And why are so many people from the Philippines in the caregiving business? And you see, it's become so common in Ireland now in recent years.
I believe it's on a Filipino traits that being to be with the family and to look after the elderly and the other family members, it's innate on the Filipino culture, to love and to be with the family. So I believe that's one of the traits why we're always on a healthcare, on a medical
It's almost world. Part of your DNA in
I think so. I believe on that.
Okay. Has anyone ever threatened you with exposure? Has anyone ever said, being cruel to you in terms of saying, be careful because I know your story?
Well, on my personal experience, I may say so, it's as we said, we're always vulnerable to exploitation. You know, at one point in time, I used to work in countryside, and since they knew your status, sometimes you've been exploited, or you've been abused emotionally and verbally. And actually, most part, we feel not safe, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if people would treat you trying to make some power trip, something like that.
I understand.
If you understand about what I mean.
I do.
If you disagree with them, then they would use the threat.
Yeah, and that's the cruel side of
that's the cruel of side it. Of being in the commentary.
So here you are talking to me today, giving us your name. We might do a photograph for our Facebook page and say hello. Are you risking your own scenario status?
Well, I just tried my best to be brave enough now and risk whatever I have at the moment, because I'm not only speaking for myself, I'm bringing it out to their listener to let them know what is the situation of undocumented. I'm speaking now for about 25 to 30,000 undocumented here in Ireland, for them to understand also what's the flight of the undocumented Irish in America.
Yeah.
So we have all the same and similar path and situation and difficulties that experiencing. So whatever happened for me, it will do good to me, but I know it's for the welfare and for the sake of other 30,000 and their children undocumented here in Ireland.
Okay, well, it's impressive what you've been doing, and we appreciate you coming to see us today.
It's my privilege to talk to your program, Ryan.
And the next time we see you, maybe it'll be happier. You might dance and enjoy yourself and do some acting or sing a song or do something else on another occasion.
That's right. Okay. I think time is very important
now. Of course it is. And I hope your boys are well and your nephew is well and your sister is doing okay.
Thank you for that, Ryan.
Okay, that's Alan Dunne out in studio this morning.